Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Lamid Hey. This is one of the more famous dafim in Shas, or at least contains one of the more famous stories in all of Shas. And it's a very good daf Yomi coincidence that it comes out on Erev Shavuos. The first half of the daf discusses what the Mishnah spoke about, which is the big day Lavan of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. We're going to discuss a number of the details of that big day Lavan, how much the big day Lavan cost, and what happened if a Kohen Gadol wanted to contribute his own money for the big day Lavan, which big day Lavan he would typically do that for. And then the second half of the daf discusses how people are going to respond to the question, Lasa Lavo, of Mipnei Ma Lo Asakta B'Torah. Why didn't we learn enough Torah? So that's pretty, you don't get much better than that for Erev Shavuos. So we're going to discuss how whether a person is an Ani or an Ashir or a Rasha, there are going to be examples of people throughout history that are going to make it very difficult for us to come up with any excuses as to why Mipnei Ma Lo Asakta B'Torah. We're going to tell the story of Hillel being the Ani and Rav Lozman ben Chasma being the Ashir and Yosef HaTzadik being the Rasha. Rasha over here, he's called Yosef HaTzadik, he's not a Rasha, meaning someone with a big Yetzer Hara and nevertheless overcoming that big Yetzer Hara. So they're going to be the people that serve as the paradigms as to what it means to be dedicated to Torah. So we read the Mishnah yesterday on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, where the Mishnah essentially started by telling us that they would bring the Kohen Gadol to the Beis HaParva. They would spread out a sadin shel boats. They would put out a linen cloth in order to give him some privacy. And then a machlokas about what order he would wash his hands and undress. But he did that in some order. And then he'd go to the mikvah. He'd come out. He'd dry out. He'd put on the big day lavan. And he'd wash his hands and feet again. And then the Mishnah described how in the morning he would wear big day lavan that were worth the machlokas. One time it said, Meir says, in the morning he'd wear big day lavan worth shnei masar mana, and ben arbayim shmona meo zuz, which is shmona mana. So definitely worth less in ben arbayim than what the clothing he wore in the morning. And the Chum said, I agree, worth less, but you got the numbers wrong. That in the morning he wore big day lavan worth shmona asar mana, ben arbayim was worth shnei masar mana. And the Mishnah tallied it for us in case we have trouble with the math, hakol shlosh mana. That altogether, it turns out to be 30 mana. And all of that comes from communal funds. If he wants to go above and beyond and he wants more expensive clothing, that has to come mishalo, that has to come from his own funds. So now, working off of that Mishnah, says the Gemara on the top of Lamed Amud Aleph. Oh, today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and perhaps by others, but I don't have that information. So says the Gemara, my parva. What exactly is the parva? Why is this place where the Kohen Gadol would be Tovel, why is it called the Beis HaParva? So I'm Rav Yosef, Parva, Amgusha. It was the name of a certain Mechashef, Rashi says. Amgusha's Mechashef Echad Bana, Ushmo, Parva, person who practices Kishuv, and his name was Parva, and we named it after him because he's the one that built it. The Rush adds that he was a Jewish Mechashef that we named it after, which is even more troubling. We name a room in the Beis HaMikdash such a Chashma room at that, after someone who's a Mechashef and a Jewish Mechashef. Bartanura adds not only a Mechashef, but he built it Al Yedei Kishuf. He used Kishuf in order to build this room, and we named it after him. So Frekta Tosas Yantav, how could it be that something that was built Al Yedei Kishuf was allowed to remain in the Beis HaMikdash, that we allowed that to be a room of any kind, let alone a chashma room in the Beis HaMikdash? And furthermore, the Mishnah doesn't mention, in our Mishnah, the Bartanura doesn't mention this. It's in Maseches Midos that the Bartanura mentions this. The Tiferes Yisrael in the Yachin Boaz Mishnah says that it doesn't mean Kishuf Mamish. It means he was like a magician the way he managed to make this room. There was a mikvah on top of the room. How did he get the water up there into the mikvah that was on top of the room, and the ceiling didn't cave in and everything? The whole thing of getting the water from it was water from a spring underground. How did he get it to the Gag? So he got it through the walls up to the Gag. He had some sort of system worked out to be able to get it up there. And it was Ki'ilu that was Al Yedei Kishuf, because it was so amazing that he managed to do that. Tosfos over here quotes from the Aruch that some of the Chum say that this Mechashef would dig underground tunnels under the ground of the Beis HaMikdash in order to be able to see the Avodas Kohen Gadol. He wanted to be able to witness to see what it looked like. And the Chachamim caught him right in that spot. So that's why they called it Beis HaParva, because that's where they chapped him. That's where they realized that he was trying to get through. The Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos and Maseches Midos says that he made a hole in the walls of the Lishcha in order to see the Avodas Kohen Gadol, and he was killed, and that's why we called it Al Shemo, sort of as a warning, that everyone should realize that the Avodas Kohen Gadol is very private, no one's allowed to look, and this is what happens to someone who does look. So that's different interpretations of who this fellow was, who this character was, and why he got in a room named after him in the Beis HaMikdash. So Parsu Sadin Shalbutz. So they spread out a cloth. So Maishan Shalbutz, why Dafka linen? So Amar Rav Kahana, Kedesh Yakir, Shavodas Yom, Big Day Butz. And everyone should realize that the Avodas Hayom for Yom Kippur is done with Big Day Butz. And normally the Kohen Gadol wears the Big Day Zav. Today he's going to be wearing Big Day Lavan when he does his most important Avodos. So in order to make a symbol of that, to let the world know that, we spread out such a cloth. Now Rav Kahana says this in this context about the Tevila Shniya, although we already had a Tevila Rishona, and the Gemara said that just like by Tevila Shniya, Rav Kahana says, the purpose of the Big Day Butz is to demonstrate that he wore Big Day Lavan for the Ikar Avodos, so too by Tevila Rishona, we also are Paris Sadin Shabbos, in order that everyone should realize that it's Big Day Lavan. So Tosus over there raises the question, back in Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis, why did Rav Kahana say this reason, Dafka, in the context of Tevila Shniya, and not in the context of Tevila Rishona? So Tosus suggests that because by Tevila Rishona, it's Pashut, that you need a hacker, that he shouldn't wear Big Day Lavan together with the Big Day Zahav the way he would do every other day. But by the Tevila Shniya, where it was only done to, the Tevila Shniya was done in order for him to change into the Big Day Zahav. So even though he already wore Big Day Lavan that day, you might make a mistake and think that you don't need to remind him anymore he'd wear the Big Day Lavan now, but he had already worn the Big Day Zahav. So you might think that at that point he doesn't need a reminder. So Rav Kahana thinks it's a bigger chiddush to say that dafka by this Tevila Shniya, we remind you that there are special begadim dafka for the Avodas Hayom of Yom Kippurim. B'shachar Yelovish Plusin Shel Shmona Asar. So in the morning, the Big Day Lavan that he would wear were very expensive. They cost Shmona Asar Mana. And then the Mishnah had said that in the evening it was Shnei Masar Mana, Hakol Shlosh Mana, that all together was 30 Mana. So Tana Min Yana Asal Hashminan, I need the Tana, come and add 18 plus 12 for me. I don't know on my own that 18 plus 12 equals 30. He has to tell me that it's 30. How come Ashmalim? The Batzer Mehani Lo Navid. No, the Chiddush is that you can't spend any less than 30 mana on the Big Day Lavan, Shachris, and Arvis put together. They had to equal 30 mana, and it can't be any less. Batzer Mehani V'tvei Mehani less than Bob. But the ratio doesn't have to be exactly that. It doesn't have to be 18 and 12 necessarily. That's an example the Mishnah is giving. It could be that it's a different ratio. Meaning, Rashi says, if a person wants to make the Big Day Lavan in the morning worth 17 mana, and the Big Day Lavan of Bein Arbayim worth 13 mana, that's good too. 17 and 13 also equals 30, and that would not be a problem if one wanted to do that. The Rabbeinu Eliyakim and the Rosh and the Mishnah Melech point out, and if he wanted to make the Begadim Shel Arvis worth 11, and the Shel Shachris worth 19, that's also good. It doesn't always have to be that he's narrowing the gap between them, as long as he spends 30 in total, even if he's widening the gap between them. However, the Sfasemis is Medayik from Rashi, that you could be Mavchis Mishel Shachris and Mosef Shel Arvis, but not the opposite, because Rashi Dafka gives the example of making it 17 and 13, not of making it 19 and 11. So Sfasemis says, Rashi doesn't do that just Stam as an example. He's telling you that that's the only way you can do it. You can only narrow the gap between them. You cannot widen the gap between them, because they must have had some sort of Kabbalah that the minimum price of Big Day Lavan is Yud Beis Mana, and that it can't cost any less than Yud Beis Mana. The Ritva says V'hu D'Tfei Eitzel Shachris, that the Tafi Eitzel Shachris. The Ritva says that you can only add to the morning one. You can't add to the night one. Meaning you have to widen the gap. That it sounds like from the Ritva. So Sfasemis explains it could be because the Torah was makbid that the value of the Begadim Shel Shachris Tachris should be at least one third more valuable than the Begadim Shel Bein Arbayim. That's what the Hakpada is. And therefore, as long as you maintain at least a one third difference in the ratio, could be bigger, could be a bigger gap, but not a smaller gap. So that seems to be this Machlokas Rishonim between Rashi and the Ritva. Are we saying that you have to have a total of 30 mana and you could change the ratio, but only if you narrow the gap between the morning and the evening? Or no, you can change the ratio, but you have to widen the gap between the begadim in the morning and the evening. Tosfos over here points out that if you look at the first day in the Mishnah, said b'shachar he'd wear shnei masar mana and ben arbaim shmona meilzuz. Shmona meilzuz is another way of saying shmona mana. So Tosfos says two anomalies. First of all, why not just say shmona mana? And second of all, how come it doesn't do the math for us in the first day? It only does the math for us at 18 plus 12 equals 30. If I don't know 18 plus 12 equals 30, probably I don't know 12 plus 8 equals 20. Right? So why doesn't it do the math for me on that either? So Tosfos points out that however you're going to answer the question of why it's a shmona meilz mana, a shmona meilz zuz, and not shmona mana, once it's saying shmona meilz zuz, so then it's not going to add it up because we're not dealing in the same currency anymore. So it's not going to tell me that it's sach hakol 20 mana because it doesn't flow anymore. So Tosfos deals with those kashas in Dibra Maskan Duyin. It's really a Tosfos that belongs on the Mishnah, but the Tosfos appears on the page over here. So Dekuliyam Amias de Shachar Adifi. But everyone seems to agree that the morning begadim have to be the better ones. They have to be the more expensive of the two sets of begadim. So Minola, and how do I know that the big day lovin in the morning should be more expensive than the big day lovin of Ben Arbayim? Samar Rav Huna, Brei Rav Ilai, Amar Kra, because the pasuk says when it talks about the big day lovin in the morning of Yom HaKippurim, bad, 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 bad. So we learn from there, muvchar bebad, that you have to have the best of the big day lovin. The big day lovin should be in the morning, should be the most expensive, the nicest. Where does it say bad, 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 bad? It doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah, but what it does say is ksones bad kodesh yilbash umichnesei bad yil besaro uva avneid bad yachkor ubemisefes bad yitznof big day kodesh emrochs b'maimus besaro v'desham. When it talks about wearing clothing, it mentions the word bad four times, not in a row, but it mentions the word bad four times in the pasuk. So that tells me that it's got to be really, really expensive silk. So says the Tosos, when do we have drushas like that? That something just repeats itself a million times and that means that it's supposed to be the best? That's not the way drushas in the Torah work. Every word is so precise. Every word is so careful. Every word has to teach me something new. So Tosos in the bottom, Tosos writes, bad, 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 nearly chad the gufei. One time it says bad just to tell me what it's supposed to be made out of, the material it's supposed to be made out of. V'chad bad loshel levad she'en lo v'shimon b'gdei zahav k'derek sh'osa kol yimos hashana. The second time it says bad, it's a loshen of levad, alone, that you wear the big day lavan not together with big day zahav the way you normally would, the way the Kohen Gadol normally would the rest of the year. Ubad shlishi lomer yoser tov mi bad shel shayim yimos hashana. Third time it says bad is tell me that the big day lavan that he's wearing on Yom HaKippurim has to be a higher quality big day lavan than he wears throughout the rest of the year. Vaharavi lomer shetov mishal arvis. And the fourth bad is extra. That's what the Gemara is really darshaning, not the fact that it just repeats it four times, but of those four times, one of them is extra to tell me that the big day bad shel shachris should be more expensive than shel arvis. Inamitos says bad shlishi revi midrashachi bad of muvchar shebebad. It could be that third and fourth are both extra, and therefore it's telling me that it's got to be the ideal bad. The fact that it repeats it, that it says it twice, not four times. Four times it would never do. But the fact that the Torah says it twice tells me muvchar bebad that it has to be the most ideal, the choicest of big day bad that one could possibly have. So says Tosfos. Now says the Gemara Meisvei. The Navi Yecheskel tells us about the Avodos Yom HaKippurim. The Navi Yecheskel, after he's misnavei about the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, he has a further nevuah about the Avodos Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, and particularly the way he describes it, Chazal understood that he's describing the Avodos Kohen Gadol in Yom HaKippurim. He's not just Stam describing Avoda in the Bayis Shlishi, he describes the Avodos Kohen Gadol in Yom HaKippurim. And Yecheskel HaNavi tells us, V'lov shu begadim acherim v'lo yikad yikatru'es ha'am bibigdehem. So the Gemara said, my love. Well, when we say v'lo yikatru'es ha'am bibigdehem, that's not talking about wearing other begadim. That's talking about wearing bigdei chol after he finishes the avodah, before he goes back home. But the point is, my love acherim. It says begadim v'lov shu begadim acherim. Doesn't acherim mean chashuv in mehen, more chashuv than the begadim that he wore previously? Meaning, if we're describing at the very end of the day, we're describing the Kohen Gadol in Bein Arbayim, we're describing what he's doing late in the afternoon, and we're saying that he's wearing begadim acherim, doesn't that seem to imply that he's upgrading his clothing in the afternoon? That's why we're calling it acherim, that it's more chashuv than the clothing that he wore in the morning. So says Gemara, lo, acherim p'chus mehen. No, acherim doesn't mean that he's upgrading. Acherim means that it's a lower level clothing, that it's just different. Acherim doesn't mean better, it just means different. And the reason that that it has to be that way, as the Mishnah described, that the morning clothing are more valuable than the evening clothing, Rashi points out, is because it was a more chashava avoda, that he's doing the actual avoda that's going to provide kapara. In the evening, when he wore big day lovan again, what did he do? He went in to go get the kaf and the machta that he had left there earlier in the day. That's a much less chashava avoda. That's only to clear out the kodesh hakadoshim, so because it's disrespectful to leave kelim there until the next year. So that's why he had to put on big day lovan again, just to clean out the area. But that's not mechaper for anything. The Ritva also points out that the svara is that begadim shemozgben kolsarabo in mishamishbam, the same begadim that you use to be mozgben kolsarabo, you shouldn't use to remove the kelim mishulchan rabo, to clear off the table. Meaning, if when you're serving the master when he's there, so then you dress up nicely. But afterwards, when if you have imagine like a waiter at a you know, at a wedding or at a restaurant, so it could be that they're serving them when they're interfacing with the client or with the patron. So then they have their uniform on nicely and they're serving properly. At the end of the day, when they're picking up the chairs and the tables and they're cleaning up everything, so everyone's gone. So probably they're not, you know, and the tie is not perfectly straight and everything is not. Then because you don't have to when you're cleaning up, that's not you don't need the same level of respect. So that's how the Ritva understands why it is that the Big Day Lovin was really cleaning up at the end of the day, so it was the Big Day Lovin later in the day didn't have to be as expensive as the Big Day Lovin in the morning. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses when the Kohen Gadol would provide for his own clothing. So Tani Rav Huna Bar Yehuda va'amri la Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, one of them said, one of the children of Yehuda said, Achar shekol sa'avodas tzibur, after the Kohen Gadol finishes the kapara of the tzibur, meaning burning the ketores and sprinkling the dam in the Kodesh HaKadosh, if a Kohen had his mother make for him a ketones, make for him Big Day Lavan, he would put that on and he would do the avodas yachid. The Kohen could wear that ketones for the avodah, as long as it's an avodah that does not require, that does not involve any kapara for the tzibur, and it's just for him alone, and meaning he can use the begadim that his mommy made him to take out the kafu machta at the end of the day. But he cannot use the begadim that his mother made for him in order to do the actual avodas hatzibur on his first visit into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Obulvachim seren al tzibur. But even that, even to just take out the kaf and the machta, you have to make sure that that clothing was given over to the tzibur, that it should belong to the tzibur, because he's not allowed to have his own privately owned clothing that he's wearing at any point during the day, even when it comes to the later avodas of the day. So says Mar Pshita, obviously he's got to give it to the tzibur, and once it's given over to the tzibur, he's able to wear it. No, I might think that it doesn't even help to give it over to the tzibur, because he might not be doing so belev shalem. He might not be doing it with full intent, and if that's the case, it's really his privately owned begadim, and therefore it's possible. He's not going to be allowed to use them. So kamash malan, that's why the Gemara is telling me that you don't have to be choshish for that. The Kohen can give this ketones to the tzibur and wear it at the time of the avoda. Now, the Mishnah Melech raises the question, you're afraid that he's not going to give it belev shalem? If he's giving it, that's all you need. You don't need that he gives it belev shalem, because after all, we do have a principle, dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. A person cannot engage in a transaction, right, and then say the next day, yeah, but I was thinking I really didn't want that transaction. You say you did a kinyan, you signed a shtar, you did whatever it is to make the transaction happen. You can't come back the next day I didn't mean to sell that Bitcoin or whatever. You know, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. You sold it. That's how a transaction works. Dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. It doesn't. You can't just say I was thinking something else. Dvarim shebelev. So what is it? What's the chiddush over here that we don't have to be choshesh for dvarim shebelev? That maybe he's not giving it over yafa yafa. Of course you don't have to be choshesh. He's not giving it over yafa yafa. That's dvarim shebelev. So the Mishnah Lemelech says that there's a sheet of the Raman, Chosh Mishvatsim Reish Zayin, that there's a chiluk between a mecher and a matana. That it's only by a mecher where we say Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim by a sale, but by a matana, even Dvarim Shebelev is Dvarim. So over here it's a matana, we have to be choshesh that maybe he's not giving it over yafa yafa. By a matana, there is such a chashash. So the Aruch Lenari, Meseches Rosh Hashanah, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, is not convinced by this answer of the Mishnah Melech. It says, first of all, the Rama quotes this shita to distinguish between a mecher and a matana, B'shem Yesh. It doesn't necessarily mean that Rama paskins like that that shita. And anyway, there are definitely those who argue. So your answer is only going to work according to some shitos. That's a yesh omrim in the Rama. But what about everybody else who doesn't hold that way and holds that dvarim shablev are einam dvarim? So then you're still going to have that kasha. He says, and even according to the shita that matana by matana dvarim shablev is dvarim, that you have to say that there's going to umdana that there's some other evidence that he didn't really mean what he was doing. Because otherwise, anytime anyone gives a matana to somebody else, they'll always be able to say, nah, I didn't mean it, and then take it back. That can't be. It's not shayach to say that dvarim shebelev, havi dvarim, in any context, by any transaction, even by a matana, unless there's some compelling reason to believe that he didn't really mean it. So when there's an umdana, when there's a compelling reason to believe it, that's the only case where the Rama said it. Over here, it doesn't seem that there's any compelling reason to believe that that's the case. It's also interesting, the Mishnah spoke about how when he's paying for his own, he pays whatever extra he wants to pay, whatever extra he wants to spend on the clothing is from him. And over here we're describing kohen shasalo imo kutones, that it's not him, it's his mother that made him the special clothing. So Ben Yoyada points out that the reason we give the example of the mother is based on what the Gemara Makos Taf Yer Aleph Amid Aleph tells us, that when someone would kill the shogeg and he'd have to go to a near miklat, so he only gets out of that near miklat once the kohen gadol dies. So the Gemara over there tells us that imosein shel kohanim mistapkos lan michyo ksus kedei shlo yispal lo b'neim sheyemusu, that the minhag was that the mothers of the kohanim gadolim used to send goodies and treats and clothing and nice things to all of the people near miklat, making their life as pleasant as possible, so that they shouldn't daven that the kohen gadol should die, so that they could be released from being captive in the Eir Miklat. So since the Gemara tells us in Maseches Vachim that the Ketonus of the Kohen Gadol is Mechaper for Shvichas Damim, so they dafka would make the Ketonus, they tried to preempt the problem also, meaning they didn't only address the problem after there were murders b'shogeg, they would try to dafka create a situation where that shouldn't happen. So they would dafka make a Ketonus in a nice way in order that it should protect from Shvichas Damim. Mela, there won't be Rotskim, they won't have to run to an Eir Miklat. And they won't have to, it was an investment, they won't have to be cooking every Shabbos to support all these guys that are in the Eir Miklat, because there won't be people in the Eir Miklat. So that's why Dafka, the Imam Shalkanim Gedolim, would make these clothing. Okay, so once the Gemara quotes this din, that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the Avoda, at least in the afternoon Avoda, with the beged that his mother made for him, so the Gemara gives examples of two Kohanim whose mothers made for them very nice big day love. So Amru Lav al Rabbi Yishmael ben Pabi, Shaya Asalo Imo Ketona Shal Meya Mana, it was worth 100 mana. Velav Shavovid Ba Avodas Yachin Umasul Tzibur. And he did the Avodas Yachin, meaning he did the second, he wore it for the second Big Day Lavan of removing the Kaf and the Machta, and he made sure to give it over, to give that those Begadim over to the Tzibur. Who was this Rabbi Yishmael ben Pabi? So he was a Kohen Gadol during the Bayis Sheni, and he lasted for 10 years, which was a great chiddush. We saw that much earlier in the Masechta, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, that in Bayis Sheni no one lasted. They died within a year or almost all the time, except the very few tzaddikim that they had in Bayis Sheni. So he was one of those very few tzaddikim. He was a Kohen Gadol for 10 years. Gemara Pesachim and Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph tells us that he was considered a Kohen Kasher to the point that they used to refer to him as a Talmido Shel Pinchas Ben Aaron HaKohen. And a Baskel came out and said, Su'ushar M'Rasheichem V'Yikanis Yishmol Ben Pavi Talmido Shel Pinchas V'Yishamish B'Kuna Gedola. That he was zochet to have a Baskel come out to say that he was worthy of Kuna Gedola. However, his family was not all necessarily B'nei Beisa, were not all necessarily on that same Madrega, but he personally was a Bal Madrega. So that was one of the Kohanim Gedola in the second Beis HaMikdash, and his mother made him very beautiful clothing. Rablazar ben Charsom was another one of these Kohanim Gedolim. He was also Kohen Gadol during the period of Bayesheni. He lasted 11 years. The Rambam writes in the Akdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayis that Rablazar ben Charsom was in the generation of an Antigonus Hishtocho in the beginning of the Tekufa of the Tanaim. So they said about him, Shasal Yimo Ketonus Mishtei Ribo, 20,000 mana she spent on his clothing. But the other Kohanim weren't allowed him to wear it because it was such fine material that you could see right through it. So he looked naked the whole time. So it wasn't appropriate for him to be wearing such clothing. Now you see, in these cases, they contributed begadim that were only used in the afternoon. But the halacha is that the morning clothing have to be worth more than the afternoon clothing, right? That's what we saw in the Mishnah. But we keep saying that they did avodas yachid. Avodas yachid means the afternoon avoda. So it means taking out the kaf and the machta. So why are we emphasizing how expensive the afternoon clothing was? However expensive it was, the morning clothing was more expensive, because that's halacha. It had to be more expensive. According to one day in Rishonim, we saw before, it's got to be one-third more expensive. So the Sfasema says, we can prove from here, the sheet of the Me'iri, that this isn't talking about Yom Kippur, because why would it not tell us about the morning? It's just telling us in general with the big day leaven that they wore throughout the year, that they would use what their mother provided for them. However, Rashi understands that it is talking about the Otzas Kafa Machta B'Yom HaKippurim. It is talking about Dafka and Yom Kippur, and the Chasdei David suggests maybe you could say that the big day Shachris were worth more, but since the Begadim Shel Shachris, since they freed up all this money now, meaning they had a budget of how much communal funds you can spend on the begadim. They didn't spend any of it on the afternoon begadim because his mother paid for all of that. So now all 30 mana could be spent on the morning begadim. So that's why the morning begadim were able to be more expensive. It just doesn't work out with the second story, right? It doesn't work out with either story because meya mana and then you have shtei riba. So it's still, even if you spent all 30 mana, it still didn't compare. You still would have had to add a lot more money to it to make it equal. Okay, so says if no matter how fine the linen is, can you really see through it? It had to be made with strands that were twined six together. So how could it be that you're saying that it was see-through? So Amar Rabbi, it must have been very thick. So Amar Rabbi, kichamra b'mazgei. He says, well, if you have a thick glass jar and you have wine inside that thick glass jar, you could still see the wine, no matter how thick the glass is. Because if it's very clear material, you could see right through it. So yeah, even though it had to be chuton kafel shisha, it still was something that they were able to see right through. Okay, once the Gemara mentions Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom, so now we're going to tell it's going to lead to the famous Agadita. So Tan Rabbanan, Ani va'ashir v'rasha ba'in ladin. And Ani and Ashir and Rasha come in front of the Bezin Shalmaila. They cannot have any excuse as to why they didn't dedicate their lives to Torah. La'ani omrim lo, they're going to tell the Ani, Mipnei ma'lo asakta b'Torah. Why didn't you engage in Talmud Torah? Why are they going to ask that question first to the Ani more than anything else? So they ask everybody that question first. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dav Zayin Amin Alav, Tos Shonim over here points out that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dav Zayin Amin Alav, tells us that Tchilas Dino Shel Adam is Al Divrei Torah. That the first thing that we're going to have to answer is Al Divrei Torah. That's famous Kashan Mar Tchilas asks. So the Gemara in Shabbos seems to say otherwise. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that there are six questions that you ask. The first one is Nasata Bemuna. Were you honest in business? And then Kavati Itim LaTorah and the other questions, right? Asakti Bepri Verivya, Tzipi Salishua, all of the six questions that are asked. But the first one is not Kavati Itim LaTorah. The first one is Nasata Bemuna. So which is it? How can the Gemara in Sanhedrin say that Ein Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Ela Al Divrei Torah? So Maritz Chayes quotes in the name of the Gra, a very Chashuv Avart, Marti says, if you look carefully at that Gemara on Shabbos, it goes through six questions, but right before that, the line right before it goes through the six Siddurim of Mishnayis, and it tells you, Emunas Itecha, Emunas Usayd Israim, Itecha Usayd Moed. It goes through the six Siddurim, and each word in the Pasuk that refers to a different one of the Siddurim. It says they match up perfectly. When it says, Nasas Nasata Be'emuna, did you engage in Emuna? Emuna, we just got through saying, Zeh Rhyme. That means, did you learn Seder's Rhyme? Kavati Itim Latara, that's just a poetic way of saying, did you learn Seder Moed? Right? V'chule v'chule goes through all six Siddurim that way. Sakta Piperi Verivya means, meaning the Marshai asked the question, how can you ask someone to Sakta Piperi Verivya? It's not up to him whether he fulfills Puruvu. Some people are not so fortunate that they're able to have children. Some people have lots of children, but they're all one gender. So it's not up to a person to determine whether he's going to be, he's going to fulfill Puruvu. So how can you ask such questions? No, it means did you learn Seder Nashim? You have to learn through all of the Siddurim of Shas. That's what it means. So then you see that it is Taka Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Zal Divrei Torah, because all six questions are about Divrei Torah. That's what the Maariv Chayis quotes from the Gra. But anyway, so they're going to ask the Ani, why didn't you learn Torah? So Im Omer Ani Yisi V'Tar B'Mazonosa, he's going to say, well, I was too poor, I was too busy trying to find food. So I'm like, Klum Ani Yisi Yosem Hillel, were you more of an Ani than Hillel? And you know what kind of dedication he had to be able to learn Torah? Amra Lav Al Hillel HaZaken. They would tell the story about Hillel HaZaken. Shebechol Yom V'Yom HaYaosa Umistakar B'Tropik. Every day he would make a very half a dinar, a very tiny amount of money he would earn. Chetzio Yinosan the Shomer Beis HaMedrash. He'd give half of it to the Shomer Beis HaMedrash. Why do they need a Shomer in the Beis HaMedrash? And why does he have to pay tuition? Hillel needs to pay to get into the Beis HaMedrash. So apparently their Batei Medrash, the Marsha points out, the Batei Medrash were out in the field, and they needed a shomer because it was dangerous. So someone had to pay the shomer. So it was that was the system, that everybody had to pay a little bit because you're paying for protection. Or the Marsha says they needed a shomer because the Gemara in Brachas Tav Chav Ches Amud Aleph tells us from Gamliel said Kol Talmud Shein Tocha Kabara Lo Yikanis Lo Beis HaMedrash, that they didn't let anybody in. You had to be Tocha Kabara in the days of Rav Gamliel to be allowed into the Beis HaMedrash. There was an entrance exam, so they needed a shomer to do that. But someone's got to pay the shomer. So Hillel he qualifies, but someone's got to pay the shomer. So everyone had to pay a little bit to the shomer. So he give half of it to the Shomer Beis HaMedrash, v'chetzel l'parnasas, l'parnasas anshei beiso. And the other half is what he would subsist on with a very tiny amount of money, but for his own parnasas and for the parnasas of anshei beiso. Pamachas lo matal listakir, and one time he didn't have any money. He couldn't pay the Shomer Beis HaMedrash, v'leinicha Shomer Beis HaMedrash li'kanes, so they didn't allow him into the Beis HaMedrash. So Allah v'nitl v'yashav al pi aruba, he went up to the skylight, k'desh yishma divrei elukim chayim p'yishmai v'avtalion, so that he could hear the divrei Kim Chaim, you could hear the beautiful Divrei Torah of Shemaya Vavtalyam. So Amru also Yom Erev Shabbos Haya. It happened to have been an Erev Shabbos. It's Kufas Teves Haya, and it was the dead of winter. V'yarad Alav Shelag Min HaShemayim, and snow came down Min HaShemayim. K'sha'al Amud Shachar, and by the time when it came time for Amud Shachar for the first light of the morning, Amru Lo Shemaya Vavtalyam, Shemaya comments to Avtalyam, Avtalyam, Avtalyam Rachli B'chol Yom Abayis Meir V'Yom Afel. Normally, and when you know, by this time, it starts to light up in the Beis HaMedrash because we have the sun starts peeking through the skylight, and now it's very dark. Shema Yom HaMu'unanu, is it a cloudy day? So Yitzitzu Enein, they looked up to the Aruba, V'ra'u D'mosadim Baruba, and they saw a person, a human form on the Aruba. Alu Matzo Alavrum Sholosh Amos Shelek. They went and they found 3 amos high of snow, which is a tremendous amount of snow for the Middle East. Parku V'rchitzuhu, and they freed him from the snow, and they bathed him. And there was a snowstorm that dropped 3 amos of snow, and they had no idea. They were so shakua in their learning, they had no idea that was going on outside. The next morning, they're just like, "Oh, it's dark in here." They had no idea that there were 3 amos of snow that came down in the Middle East. So they bathed him off, and they anointed him with oil, and they put him next to the fire. So Amru Ra'uizel Mechal Lovas Shabbos, and they said, "This guy is worthy of being Mechal Shabbos for this guy." Is worthy. Every Jew, you have to be Mechal Shabbos for it. So this guy is worthy, and no matter who he is, you have to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of a Jew. So what does it mean, this guy is worthy? So the Ein Eliyahu suggests that it means that everyone else, they would have just assumed he's already dead. But they saw that his Mesiris Nefesh, that probably he was not dead, because for his Mesiris Nefesh for Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu probably protected him. That's what it means, that this guy is worthy of being Mechal Shabbos. Someone else, we would have assumed he didn't make it, and that's why it wouldn't be worth being Mechal Shabbos, because they probably wouldn't be alive. Ben Yoyada raises the question that we say over here, that how could Hillel do this? He put himself in sakana. What's the heter to do that? You're not allowed to take your life like that. You're not allowed to put your life in danger like that. You stay home from the Beis Medrash if there's a sakana to be in the... One thing we learned this past year, that's the halacha, that if it's a sakana to be in shul, if it's a sakana to be in the Beis Medrash, you stay home. You're not allowed to go. So was Hillel allowed to put his life in danger in such a way? So he says, Al Piderach HaTeva, it wasn't supposed to snow. It wasn't that cold outside, but it was Shelag Min HaShemayim. It was a special Ashkacha to be Mefarsim, the godless and the tzidkos of Hillel and his tremendous avas haTorah, that he didn't even realize he was so dovuk in the Torah that he didn't even realize that it was snowing on him. So that's why the Brisa says Yorad Olav Shelag Min HaShemayim. Where else is the Shelag going to come from? No, it's saying that it was Min HaShemayim, that the whole thing, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was made sure, the Min HaShemayim, that this would happen in order to create this situation. Chavetz Chaim raises a halacha question in the story. In the Kutei Halachas, he raises the question that there is a halacha that a mevazviz al yivazviz yosef v'chamish. You're not supposed to spend more than 20% of your money on any given mitzvah. Every day, Hillel made a very tiny amount of money, a very meager sum. 50% of it he spent on being able to go to the Beis Medrash. Whatever happened to Amavazvez, Ali Vazvez Yosem Chomish, says the Chavetz Chaim in the Kutei Halachas, you see from here that Achzakas HaTorah and Talmud Torah is different. That's an exception to the rule. They spend more than 20% of your money. When you pay tuition and it comes out to more than 20% of your money, that's okay. You're allowed to do that because Achzakas HaTorah goes by a different cheshbon. The Rav Chaim writes the same way in Kovetz Ma'amarim. Then when it comes to learning Torah, it's different. I think in Tavrish and Rav in the Be'er Halacha, I think if I recall correctly, the Chavetz Chaim writes that a little differently, that maybe, he quotes Rishonim, that maybe if you have a salary, a steady income, maybe Amavazviz doesn't apply. Amavazviz, you have X amount of money, don't spend more than 20% of it in one place, because then you're going to run out eventually. But if you have a steady income, so I'll make more tomorrow, so you know we have what to rely on, maybe then you are allowed to spend more than one-fifth of what you earn each day. So anyway, so that's the story of Hillel. So Ashir Omrim Lo, if a person is a very wealthy person, they're going to say to him, why didn't you learn? I was too busy dealing with all my investments. So, were you a greater usher than Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum? What do we know about Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum? He had 1,000 cities on the dry land and 1,000 boats on the sea. And every day he would take a jug of flour on his shoulders for his mizonos, just to provide a little lunch bag he took with him. And he went from one city to the next, and one medina to the next, to learn Torah. One time, his avadim found him, and they didn't know who he was, and they wanted to tax him. So just leave me alone, let me learn Torah. We swear by Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum, we're not going to leave you alone. And Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum never went to see what was going on with his 1,000 cities and his 1,000 boats. Eliyoshev el Sukbatorah, Kalayom, Kalalaila. He had people to do that. He went and learned Torah, Kalayom, Vikalalaila. Rasha Omrim Lo, Rasha, they tell him, Neymalo Asakta Batorah, why didn't you learn Torah? Imamar, Na'a Yisi Vitorah, Bi Yitzri. Meaning, you see from the Yashar that you have to be able to delegate responsibility to other people so that you could free yourself up to live, that you could free yourself up to learn Torah. Rasha Omrim Lo, Rasha, they say, Neymalo Asakta Batorah, why didn't you learn Torah? Imamar, no, you see, Vitar Biitzri, I'm such a good looking guy, at such a Yetzer Hara, so I'm Lokumna Yisami Yosef, or you better looking than Yosef? I'm a level Yosef at Sadik, Bechol Yom Yomos, Aishas Potifar Mishadalto. Every day the Aishas Potifar would try to be Mefatim, Bidvarim, she tried to convince him to sleep with her, Begadim Shalav Shalav Shachrus, Lalav Shalav Arvis, she would keep on doing wardrobe changes to try to be more enticing for him, Begadim Shalav Shalav Arvis, Lalav Shalav Shachrus, and each time she would try to entice him anew. So Amalo, she said to him, Yishamali, you listen to me, just give in already. So Amalo, Yosef said, Lav. Amalo, she would say, if you don't listen to me, Harini Chavashtecha Beves Asurim, I'm going to have you jailed. Amalo, Hashem Matir Asurim, I trust in Hashem, Hashem is Matir Asurim. Harini Kofevas Kamascha, we're going to beat you so badly, you're not going to be able to stand straight. Hashem Zokev Kfufim, Hashem is Zokev Kfufim, he makes people stand straight. Harini Mesame Zinecha, I'll blind you. Hashem Pokeach Ivrim, Nasnalo Elef Kikari Kesef, Lishma Ela, she finally gave him 1,000 Kikari Kesef to listen to her, Lishkovetzla, Liyosima, Velo Ratzel Lishma Eleha. And he didn't want to listen to her, he didn't give in. Lishkovetzla means Bolam Hazeh, and Liyosima means Lo Olam Haba, that he wouldn't give in to either of those things. The Gemara Naval Dazar Dafei says, anyone who's over Avera Bolam Hazeh, it's Kshur Lo Kikelev Lo Asad Lavo. So when she tried to be Machshil him in Olam Hazeh, it means that she wanted to be together with him in Olam Haba as well. The Chasam Sofer says that the Gemara is trying to be Merami's test, that it's because she was an Oved Avodah Zarah that he didn't want to listen. And that explains the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota says that when he showed up to work that day, he was planning on being with her because there was a big festival of Avodah Zarah and she didn't go. So he realized, oh, she must have given up the Avodah Zarah. So now he's allowed to be with her. But then when she went right after him, he realized that she stayed behind, not because she was rejecting the Avodah Zarah, but because she wanted him. So then he realized that he can't be with her. Nimtza Hillel Mechayev Esaniyim. So Hillel is Mechayev Aniyim who don't learn Torah. Reb Lozer ben Charsom Mechayev Hashirim who don't learn Torah, and Yosef Mechayev Esarashayim is Mechayev people with a very large Yetzer Hara who don't learn Torah. And the bottom line is, no matter what a person's circumstances are in life, we always have a responsibility to learn Torah. And the riff on the Ein Yaakov points out that we repeat this at the end of the story over here to tell me that they're mechayev all generations, even generations that came before them, generations that came after them, that up in Shemayim will say the people always had this capacity to be able to learn Torah at a very high level, regardless of their personal circumstances. And I can't think of a better way to go into the Yom Tov of Shavuos than on that note. So everyone have a wonderful day and a wonderful Yom Tov.